not Michael. He's getting ready for these wonderful, or my brother Terry over here. He's getting ready for the wonderful baptisms we'll have this morning. So, you tell me to be quiet. Is that what it is? Let's go ahead and open our bulletins. And as Michael said before, it's always a pleasure to have a full page of announcements. And we'd like to begin this morning by welcoming a Dallasburg former pastor, Brother Bill Cox and Marie. Not sure what, there we are, over there. So welcome back. If you don't know Brother Bill and Sister Marie, I encourage you to introduce yourselves and have a good time of fellowship. And if you do, well, then that's just great. Reminder that we do have a potluck meal following the morning service to be able to fellowship with our brother and sister. So any of you who would like to stay for that are more than welcome. The DPC kids will be having a pool party at Courtney's on July 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. Make sure you mark that in your calendars. There'll be food, there'll be drinks. Please make sure that all your children bring the necessities, the swim trunks, towels, floaties for kids and whatnot. And if your child needs a ride, please let Mandy or Courtney know, and they will be gracious enough to accommodate for that. Exciting news for me, and I know for a lot of you, and I know it's been in the bulletin for a couple of weeks, the DBC choir is returning. It will begin next Sunday evening. Every rehearsal from now on will take place Sunday evening following the Sunday service. And I know Brother Michael talked about this last week, and I'll go ahead and reiterate. You don't have to be a professional singer to come and join with us and sing with us. If you have a heart for singing to the Lord, if you have a heart for worship, please come. It's not going to be anything difficult, I promise you that. But it is something that I have a heart for. And I know many of you, through conversations and through fellowship, have shared with me that you all have a heart as well. And if you feel led to just come and worship with us, then do so. There's no judgment. There's nothing. There's just a heart for worship. And again, it'll be nothing difficult. I promise you that. It'll just be something so that we can praise the Lord. And as Michael said last week, if you want to give it a try, I mean, come once or twice, and if you say, hey, this is for me, then obviously you're welcome to stay. If you say, there's no way on God's green earth I'm going to stay here and sing and look at this guy for another Sunday evening, then fine, that's okay. Serve where you're called. But I do encourage you to join us for that. And if you have any questions, please contact me. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Saturday, August 6th. Now, if you have a pen, I would like you to correct that. It's not Steve's fault. It's my fault. This will actually be pushed back to August 13th, so it'll just be the next week after the August 6th. I know there's a lot of things going on in Owen County, and my schedule got a little messed up as well, because I didn't check it well enough. I guess my glasses don't work, or I don't know, my brain works that way. But it'll be August 13th. That'll be the end of the summer youth trip to the Ark Encounter in Williamstown. Again, there's no deposit, nothing needed, just food for money. And if your child wants to buy little souvenirs and whatnot, that's fine. But that's all you need money for. So it'll be August 13th, not the 6th. August 7th will be the Baptist Associational Meeting. It'll be held at Pleasant Ridge Baptist Church. It starts at 3 p.m. And as good Baptists, they will have food. So if that's not encouragement enough, then I'm not sure what is. The second session will be around 6:30. And that night, August 7th, there'll be no evening service here at Dallasburg. For those of you who want to attend the associational meeting. Also, August 15th, there'll be a small group teaching seminar conducted by the KBC at First Baptist Church. Again, that'll be August 15th. It will start with dinner at 6:30, and the seminar is at 7. And this is really for anyone who leads, teaches in any capacity here at Dallasburg, or if you feel like you're being called and led to teach, and you want to be able to equip yourself with more information and more skills to do so, you're more than welcome to also assist or attend to that. There is a sign up in the Hallelujah Hallway, and we please ask that anyone who is interested in attending, please sign up by July 31st, which is next Sunday. Also, I mean, I don't know if you checked out our library, but there's a lot of good books. We have some new stuff there as well. And again, the Owen County Christmas Project, if you're participating in that, then that is, believe it or not, we're 154 days away from Christmas. But nobody's counting except me. So just make sure we're looking at that. And to end on a positive note, I think here at Dallasburg, we pride ourselves to be biblical and be theological. And one of those biblical foundations that we do have here is marriage. And as you can see, our brother Harold and our sister Cookie are celebrating 63 years of marriage. So yes, amen to that. And I just pray that all of us here can learn from that and from every other marriage as well. So what we'll do now is that I will pray and then we will continue with a wonderful blessing this morning, which is baptisms here at Dallasburg. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, be able to worship, to be able to hear your word, to be able to fellowship together. We ask that you bless the rest of this time. Bless, Lord, those that are giving their lives over to you today through baptism. Lord, we ask that you bless them and that you help them and you guide them through their walk, and that we as a church can come together and be brothers and sisters in one spirit. We ask for the rest of the service, Brother Michael bringing the word, Lord, our songs, our praise. May it be, Lord, joyful, and may it be, Lord, a sacrifice unto you. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Super excited to have everyone with us this morning. What an exciting day it is in the life of our church, and not only in our church, in the life of these two wonderful women, Megan and Ann. Just wanted to just take a brief time here. You know, I'll get some more time behind the pulpit here in a minute with you, but just a quick reminder of what this is and what this isn't. Right? And so what this is a symbolic demonstration of obedience to Jesus Christ and wanting to walk in a right relationship with him. What this is not is this does not save an individual. Both Megan and Ann have been walking with the Lord for a while now, right, as we have been planning this occasion. So it is not that, but what it is symbolic, which I pray has happened for many of you in your observance of baptism, right? And so just an exciting day to be with everyone and to be with Megan and Ann as they have this monumentous occasion in their life. Something that this also represents for each of you, I'm trying to get behind the stand over there so I can see some of you all over there as well. What this also represents for you as a church, you have a responsibility in this as well, right? And one of the responsibilities you have in this, and this is something that I am afraid that the church has done incorrectly for generations, is that we don't simply just dunk someone and be like, hey, they're good, go out into the world, and I hope everything goes great for you. No, this is a commitment also on behalf of you as the church to also walk alongside of them, to be there for them, to help mentor them, and to be there as their support, right? So you have a role to play in this as well, right? So don't simply just think that, oh man, this is all about them and they get to be up here and be in the water in front of everybody. No, you have a responsibility in this as well as a church, but also more importantly, as their brothers and sisters in Christ, right? You want to help carry this load with them as well, right? So I asked both Megan and Ann when we were back there getting ready, I was like, hey, do you guys want to give big speeches? They're both like, nah, man, we're good. We're good. So just trust me in this. And I had visited with them and had this conversation amongst other the church. I am very confident. I would not be up here and I would not be here with them if I was not confident in their decision to walk with the Lord. Right, so that has been made, that is good to go. But we are going to ask a couple questions, and I'll just hold the microphone for you so we don't drop it in the water, right? I don't know if the budget can afford that, right? So I'll ask a couple questions, which we know the answers to, but we'll just ask them again to make sure. Megan, as you stand here this morning, are you resting in the understanding that your salvation is through the completed works by Christ on the cross?
Yes.
Yes. Great answer. All right. Number two. Have you confessed to the Lord of the sins you've committed, and by the grace of God, committing today to turn away from those sins.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the third and most important is that, Megan, do you commit also today to chase after Jesus Christ for the remainder of your life?
Yes.
Absolutely. Amen. So on her, you can clap forward. That's okay. Yeah, you can clap. Yeah, absolutely. Somebody write that down. That was Ford's. Ford started that. So on your profession of faith, right? I'm going to put this microphone down now. I'm going to try to be loud so everyone can hear us. All right, I want to share, there was big debate whether to close the curtains between or open them between. I'm just so blessed. Come over here, Stan. Your aunt wants to be able to get a good shot of you right there, right? We're just so blessed to have that conversation, to have more than one baptism. Also, would encourage you all to be back with us next week again, not because we are having another baptism, so we want to come and celebrate that again next week, but also because this is where God wants us to be, a gathering with his people. But we'll be having another baptism next week as well, right? So we stand here with Ann this morning, and let me just go ahead and tell you right now, Ann is not a fan of being in front of a large group of people. Would that be accurate, Ann? Yes, accurate. And so when I asked Ann, I was like, hey, do you want to say something? She goes, no, Michael, don't do that. So Ann is not going to be sharing anything, but I can tell you Raphael and I went and we were able to spend probably longer than you wanted us to in your house having conversation, and Ann confessed to us that she too is walking in a right relationship with Christ now. And so we were super excited about that. And again, I know you just heard this, but I want to remind you once again, you as the church are also committing, right, to be there for Anne, to help her, to be there to disciple her, to be there when she encounters the struggles of this world. You are there to be to help her with that. And so understand your role in that as well, right? Anne, I'm going to ask you the same three questions. I probably won't word them exactly the same because I didn't memorize them, right? Okay? So the first question I'm asking is, have you confessed to the Lord your sins, and through his grace, are you committing to turn away from those sins?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Very good. And are you also resting in the completed works of Jesus Christ, only what he completed on the cross for your salvation?
Yes.
Yes, very good. And then finally, are you committing today, through God's grace, to chase after Christ for the entirety of your life?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. This is when everyone claps again. Yes, very good. We'll go ahead and turn you around.
Amen. What a wonderful way to begin a Sunday morning, right? So let us stand and let us praise our Lord for those wonderful baptisms, and let us sing of His wonderful majesty this morning. Worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority flows from His throne unto His own, His anthem raised. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died and our glorified King of all kings. Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority flows from His throne unto His own, His anthem raised. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died and now glorified King of all kings. Amen. We can sing of His majesty for His great love that He showed to us. And this song, Amazing Grace, there's a little added to it where it says, my chains are gone, my God, my Savior has ransomed me. And what a beautiful truth to be able to sing this morning. So let us sing that this morning.
Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever.
Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Let us keep singing of that great love this morning, and that all the promises that we live them, but we live them because Christ dwells in us. Let us sing.
Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. My hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to Him. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hold. My shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Fate I dread, I know that I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. for Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
And because we can sing, yet not I, but through Christ in me, we can build our life on him. Amen? Let us sing.
Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. The only show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon to those around me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalms 107, 2 through 3. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the blessing it is to be able to gather here today with our family. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all the many ways that you bless us. And Lord, we thank you for this time. Now we can come back to give a small portion of that back to you. And Father, I just pray that you will take it and multiply it. And Lord, that we would be able to use it for the advancement of your kingdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
right, our kids will make their way to Children's Church. I'm sure, like, Sophia, fashionably late. Perfect. I'm sure, like many of you, you have a watch that you wear, and mine is a smartwatch. I'm not sure why it's so smart, but supposedly it's a smartwatch. And it has a tracker where it tracks my heartbeat, like I'm sure many of yours does too. And I'm really purposely having to try to calm myself down, because as Christians, if you can't be excited what happened this morning, I mean, I worry about you. And as I was coming out of there, I'm like, man, I got to get up there and calm down now and preach the word of the Lord. But I hope you're as excited as I am for those two sisters in Christ. And just an amazing thing. And I'm glad you were here to be a part of it. If you've been with us recently, or if you've been watching on Facebook or any of that else, or any other means that we present, you've known that we're making our way through 1 Peter. I'd shared with you last week that beginning in last week, we made a very clear transition in the book of 1 Peter to where we went from theoretical discussion upon doctrine, right? Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is laying foundations of doctrine so that when we get to this practical part, right, which today is very practical discussion, that when we get to this practical part, you have doctrine to draw upon to put it into context so you understand. And I will be very confident in saying you're going to need every ounce of that doctrine foundation to be able to fully do what Peter is calling the original five churches to do, but also calling you and I to do today. So let's take a look at what the Lord's Word says. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. God's Word says this: "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." Let's pray. Dear God, we just so joyful to be here with the church this morning, Lord. Just so excited to be here for the baptism of both Megan and Ann, Lord. Just what an amazing day in the life of our church. Just what a blessing that is to you. Just so thankful for that. Lord, as we gather here right now, as we've had our hearts prepared for worship by our musicians, Lord, we just pray that the truth of your word comes pouring in. Lord, we pray that we're able to gain a deeper understanding of your word today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come alongside of us and reveal to us things in Scripture that were unbeknownst to us before today. And most importantly, Lord, we pray that we're able to take those truths, and they are truths, to take those and apply those to our daily walk with you, not to our glory, but to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as I told you earlier, we've made this transition. We've gone from theoretical to practical. I had some of you come to me and be like, "Man, I am so glad we're making it to the practical part, because the theoretical part was getting a little heady." And I had some people say, "Man, I'm going to miss the theoretical part," right? And so the good news is Scripture is for us all. And it's all right, and we understand it the way we're supposed to with the aid of the Holy Spirit. But what we're going to look at over the next couple weeks is, today we're going to talk about, as Christians, and remember, the book of 1 Peter is written to Christians. And so when I bring a message and speak to you, I'm speaking to you as Christians. Now, obviously, the gospel is contained within this, and if anyone is with us today is not a Christian, is not resting in a right relationship with the Lord, the gospel will be presented in this, but primarily the book of 1 Peter is written for Christians. right? It's written for you and I. And so today we're going to be talking about Christians as citizens. How do we respond and act to the world, right, and to the government? Next week we'll talk about slaves. Then we'll talk about wives and husbands. We'll probably combine that together. And then we'll have a summary ending in chapter 3. Right? But when we look at this first set of scripture here in this verse 13, the first thing it says there is be subject. Now, we're going to talk about a word that unfortunately in today's day and age is akin to some of the worst word you can say to someone. Be subject is basically saying be submissive. Right? And so we say that word, and instantly people are like, I don't know who you're talking to. I mean, you're not telling me to be submissive to anybody. But there's a reason Scripture goes to this discussion time and time and time again. And the discussion of submission is exactly the same reason a couple of your eyebrows went up when I said it, is you have a problem with it. I have a problem with it too. Right? We understand as Christians, we're all works in progress. We're all walking the path of sanctification. We're all trying to improve in being submissive to God. Right? It's a problem. It's your sin nature strives exactly opposite to what God's word tells us again and again. And so Peter, sharing this with the five displaced churches, he's telling them to do something that, as difficult as you find it, in 2022, you can't even begin to imagine how hard a message this would have been for the five displaced churches, right? I think we can all agree. I think we live in a time that's very obvious that being a Christian is that there is contempt towards us as Christians. I think laws are passed, decisions are made that are counter to what we as Christians know to be the truth, right? And so there is a form of persecution that exists in 2022 for us as Christians. Side note, just hit a little quick pause there. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ who live in other countries. Because even though there is persecution here, right, we are still very protected. But you have brothers and sisters in Christ who this morning are meeting in house churches with there's a real possibility of someone coming through the door of that house and kicking that door open and start removing heads from bodies. They are living in that situation. So when you read Scripture and you see someone get up here like me and talk about, well, the persecution they're experiencing is very different than what you and I experience, I think that is accurate. But there are still people in other parts of the world that are experiencing the same type of persecution that Peter is writing to these five churches. And so if you remember your history, don't fall asleep on me, JT, just stay with me for a second, right? We'll talk about this. You probably remember from your history studying about Nero, right? You may have remembered the old saying, Nero fiddled while Rome burned, right? You may have heard it. This is who's in charge right now. This is who's in charge while Peter is writing this. The reason the five churches are displaced is because Nero is persecuting the Christians. We haven't reached the crescendo yet, right? We haven't reached to where Christians are being fed in the Colosseum to lions. We haven't reached the point to where Christians are being lifted up on poles and lit on fire to light the streets for the Romans so they can see what they're doing. We haven't quite reached that yet, but we're building to that. So in that context, Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling Christians to do what? Listen to the government? Peter, you must be out of your mind. You have to be crazy. They are doing the horrible things to us, but we're still supposed to be submissive to them? Peter's letter here says yes. Now we'll discuss, there's a big asterisk that comes with this. We'll talk about the asterisk. We'll talk about it more tonight for Sunday night service. If you want to come back and join us, we'll discuss it at more length there, but we'll discuss it here in a second. But we have to understand why. Why is God telling us, right, to be in submission to the government? It's really straightforward, and it's really, it's counterintuitive to what we see, but it's this, is that chaos is not God's will, right? God enjoys and desires order and structure in our lives and in our spiritual lives and in our every bit of our lives. Now, I know when I say that, some of you are like, well, I don't know why he's attacking me. I know some of you maybe aren't the most organized people. I like to call it shooting from the hip. And some of you all are masters at it, and it works out for you. And people like me are like, I don't know how that works out for them. I don't know how they continue to pull this off when they're just shooting from the hip. But Crystal, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it through, Crystal, right? Crystal's a very organized person. What we need to understand, though, is God's desire is for order and structure. And that's one of the things he's teaching us here. Law and order is God's will. Now, a caveat to that, and now I've picked on the shoot from the hip people for a second. Let me pick on the ordered people. Let me pick on myself here for a second. But never to the point to where the order and structure supersedes what God's will is. Right? We never say, well, we start, I don't even know what time Crystal starts playing, but Crystal starts playing whenever she decides to start playing, and we don't lock the doors at that point and say, no one else can come in because Crystal has started playing. Right? We see the massive swing in the other direction that can happen too. Some of you are like, oh yeah, I know some people like that. Right? We're not to swing that massive, right, to where we become pharisaical, right? That's what was the problem with the Pharisees. If the Pharisees had taken the laws of the Lord, they have added, you know, 500 to 600 laws to that, and they were hoping in that for their salvation. If I can follow these laws perfectly, that means I'm saved, right? So we don't want to swing to that. You know, a funny side note, I'll tell you, and I've had someone else tell me this once, and I would agree with it, is I do think there's a little bit of Pharisee in me, right? I like rules, and I like order. But there's a part of me that likes to bust people when they don't follow the rules. Be like, oh, I saw that. You didn't do that right. Right? You didn't do that right. Right? And so we see that in us, and we don't want to be on that extreme level. That's not what God is talking about here. God is talking us and in preparing us that we need to understand that we have to submit to the authority because God desires structure and order for the world, right? If you can remember, go back with me. And so we're in 1 Peter, so I'm not saying you have to physically flip, but just in your mind, go back with me to Genesis. What do you think the Garden of Eden looked like? It was not chaotic. It was not destructured. It was very structured, right? Everything was in perfect harmony with everything else. That's what God originally desires. And that's what we're striving after, is to reach that level of structure, right? And we want to be chasing after that. We don't want everything to just go crazy. When I was preparing this message earlier in the week, you guys will remember, it wasn't that long ago, out on the West Coast, where they set up their own little private, I think they called it CHOP was the name of it, to where they kicked out all law enforcement. I think it was Oregon, right? Portland, something like that. They set up their own little structure, right? No police, no nothing. They were going to rule themselves. Like, it was anarchy. And I can remember watching a video to where this guy drives by in a pretty nice vehicle, a vehicle we would consider nice, and someone throws a brick and hits the side of his car. Well, they weren't ready for this guy, right? He went what we would call Owen County redneck on him. He locks it up, and he comes flying out of that car. And he gets a hold of the guy who threw the brick, and, you know, he dispenses some justice. I don't think God was glorified in that at all. But we see that. And in the background, this is the point of this whole illustration. In the background, you hear someone say, someone better call the police. It was the same people who had decided they didn't want any police. They didn't want any government. They didn't want anything. But instantly, what did they want? They wanted some order and structure. That's what God desires for us, right? He does not want anarchy. He doesn't want us going crazy. He wants this structure. And what that calls for, in order for that to work, we have to have submission. So I would encourage you, if you leave here today with nothing else, I would hope that you leave here today with this, is submission to God is a wonderful thing. Submission is not the horrible word that your sin nature tries to convince you it is. It's a wonderful thing to submit to the Lord, right? We see this, and we have this examples throughout Scripture. I'm just going to give you one this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. So even in the Trinity, right, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, we still have structure. And we understand that Jesus is fully God and also fully man, but even in this, he is subjected to his Father, God the Father. We see this structure and this order. And so it's everywhere, right? I believe that in Scripture, I think Scripture teaches this, is that God gave us three institutions that he ordained: the family, the church, and government. Obviously, we're talking about government today. We don't need to talk about that a whole lot. We understand how the church and how Jesus is the head of the church, and we submit to that. And the one I wanted to touch on is family, just briefly, right? Just for some more practical information. I think there's many grandparents that should hear this. I think there's many parents that should hear this. And as a church, we understand we're responsible for everyone's children. We're responsible for all the kids. And hear this, is that there is structure in the family as well. And I see this, and I have messed this up. Melissa has messed this up too. Who is in charge of the family? The parents. And the parents are living in submission to God. And so what happens in family structures, I've seen this, is families start letting children run the show. And it's like the parents are living in submission to the children. It has a name. It's called Little Emperor Syndrome. Right? Little Emperor Syndrome, it comes from Asian areas to where used to be, that's changed now, but they were only allowed to have one child. Right? Or they were only allowed to have one child until it was a male. Right? And so when they have that one child, that one male son is infinitely valuable to the family. Very, very important to them. And so what do? They start letting the child run the family. And with the sinful nature of the child, what do you think happens to the child? They start acting like a little emperor. They start dictating, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. That is not, and we'll speak more to this in the upcoming weeks, this is not the way God has ordained submission to look like in your family. If you are struggling with that, excuse me, I encourage you to pray and to think about that and come back and read this and think more on what it looks like, right, to have order in your family. It can be very disruptive at times. And so what we see is just first little part, we're talking about be subject, talking about submission, is we're talking about this, is that we are commanded to submit to government authorities. Here's the asterisk you've all been waiting for. Because if you're like me, you're always looking for loopholes. You're like, well, what about this or what about that? Here's the loophole to this. The only time for you to be disobedient to government structures is when they ask you to sin, when they ask you to violate a principle that we have clearly outlined in Scripture, right? And has that happened in history? Absolutely. It has happened in history where citizens have been asked to do things that were counter to God's word. And in that instance, yes, you are not to submit to the authority. But I would give you this morning, that is very rare. The majority of time, you should be living in submission to the government. It's just something that's very important it was very important to God, and it's very important to us. And I would encourage you that if these five churches that have lost everything, like what they walked away with was what they had on their backs, and they've been sent to foreign lands to where they don't speak the language, they don't know anybody. If they can hear this message and respond to it in a God-honoring way, you and I can as well. And why are we able to do that? It's because of the Holy Spirit allows us and gives us strength to do that. We continue on in verse 13, and we come across, for the Lord's sake. And we've already talked about this a little bit, right? Right? And so the Lord is pleased when we submit to authorities. Again, because of the order and structure. I want to read something for you. I'm going to read you a big chunk of Scripture here. I would encourage you. I left lots of room on the back of your bulletin for notes. Just write this down. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul, also writing on a very similar subject, says this: let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Let's just pause right there. I'm going to read some more to you. Do you feel that? Do you believe that? Do you pray for your leaders? Because why are they there? What did Paul say? Instituted by God. Now, I'm going to guess If we took a poll this morning, I'm going to guess, now this is as close to political as I'll ever get behind this pulpit. We're walking that line this morning. If we did a spectrum, I'm going to guess we would have everyone in different spots on this spectrum, the political spectrum. But what does it say there? They have been instituted by God. And that's why you hear me preach this all the time. This is Michael's personal opinion, but it's this, is that the main doctrine you need to come to grips with, that you need to grow in, that you need to chew on, that you need to think about and meditate on consistently, is the doctrine of God's sovereignty. It's very important to your Christian sanctification. It's very important to your daily living to understand that God is sovereign. And by understanding God as sovereign, it makes it a little bit easier to hear this verse read to you or read it to yourself. And those that exist have been instituted by God. We continue. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists God, resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. Right? And so we see here, and God gives us a very clear answer to why civil and government authorities exist. And it's exactly this. It's to punish evil and reward good. Now, we don't have the time, and my guess is very few of you have the inclination to sit through a discussion on criminal justice and the criminal justice system and how criminals should be reformed and what that should look like. You don't need to sit through a big, long lecture on that because it says it very clearly right here in Scripture. Those who do evil should be punished, and those who do good should be rewarded. Now, I understand we live in what I'm going to call very soft times, to where we're very soft on people and very soft on criminals. We see the decriminalization of things that 5 years ago would have landed you in federal prison for 20 years. That those things are not, we're not prosecuting people for these things anymore. We see government leaders being disobedient to the vows they took. That's probably a message for a different day, right? But clearly we see here in Scripture, this is the purpose of governments, right? And why has God, well, there's a secondary reason. I've already answered the first reason for you. The reason God has established governments is to teach us submission, right? Because he likes order versus chaos. But also this, it's to prepare us. Because everyone sitting here today, everyone at home this morning, there will be a day that you will stand in front of a holy, perfect God, the uncreated creator, and you will answer for your actions. So as governments are supposed to punish for bad and reward for good, it's laying the groundwork so you understand there are consequences to your actions. I think that's one of the biggest disservices that is happening in 2022 is we're convincing children, we're convincing ourselves, we're trying to convince everyone that there are no consequences to your actions, and that is a complete opposition to what God's Word teaches. It's going to lead to a lot of people one day standing in front of God and be very confused, thinking, well, I thought I could get away with this. I did this before and nothing ever happened. You know, I broke these laws, no one ever did anything to me. I actually prospered because I did this. And what happens in that situation? Those individuals will spend an eternity and separated from God to where there is no future hope. There is nothing to look forward to. It is an eternity of separation. That's what we need to understand. Now, I think all of us, if we're just trying to be here and be honest and transparent with one another, that's a big hallmark of what we do here at Dallasburg, we try to be transparent with one another, is this, is you hear this, you're like, man, that sounds great in theory, but when I look at the government and I see all the wrongdoings and I see all the shadiness and I see all the slandering and I see all the government doing things opposite of what God has designed here, you're like, well, this doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because of our sin nature. Again, God has established something that's perfect and right, but unfortunately, we mess it up because of our sin nature. It's no different than our lives. I remember, I referenced back to the Garden of Eden. It's very important when discussing this. The original plan of God, and again, God was not surprised when Adam and Eve did that, but his original plan was for harmony and for things to be perfect, for everything to be subject to what it was supposed to be subject for, to be submissive, and everything to glorify God. But unfortunately, when sin entered in the world, we messed that up. And that's why you and I need Jesus Christ. Right, we talk about that a lot. I pray you hear it in every Sunday school class you attend. I pray you hear it in every message up here. I pray you hear it in the majority of songs that we sing, right? The gospel message is that you are in need of a Savior. Right? You need Jesus. And what Jesus accomplished on the cross, when he went to the cross and he paid for your sins, he was then put into the ground, which I, like I told you last week, I was corrected by the young, I think it was Cindy's class that corrected me, said, well, he didn't go in the ground, Michael, he was in a tomb. And I'm like, you're right, he was in a tomb. When he went into the tomb, and then 3 days later, he arose again and defeated death, that we now, if we place our faith in Christ, if we live in submission to him, we too can have eternal salvation. To where when, and remember, church, hear this, it's not if you meet God one day, it's when you meet God one day. When you stand in front of him, you will be found guilty of your sins, but then Christ is there as your advocate and be like, yes, he is guilty or she is guilty of their sins, but I paid for them on the cross. And that's the wonderful great news of the gospel. And that's why we need that. So when you hear this and you're like, man, again, that sounds great. That sounds theoretical. That would be, I would love to live in that. And it's what they call a utopia. I would love to live in that. Church, I'm going to tell you something right now. It does not exist. Because of sinful man and sinful woman, it does not exist. Right? And so we continue on here. Verse 16. Live as people who are free. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Now, church, I'm going to tell you something, and I could give you lots of examples from history. Any doctrine that exists, right, the doctrine of God's sovereignty, right, the doctrine of love, the doctrine of grace, any of these doctrines can be perverted and twisted by sinful men and women to do things that does not honor God. And what Peter is writing here, he understands sinful people, right? He understands, I mean, or the Holy Spirit understands sinful people. It's inspiring Peter to write this. They understand this, is that you don't want to use something good and right from God and pervert it to do something else, right? And that's what Peter's talking about here, right? Is that we are free, but what are we free from? We're free from sin. We're free from being a slave to sin because, reference back to what we just talked about, what Christ accomplished on the cross. But you are not free to just go crazy, to be an anarchist, to just want to do what you want to do. We see this, there's examples of this in Scripture. And the thought process goes like this. And before I even explain this to you, understand this is very flawed thinking. This is not what God wants. Paul writes to counter this, but he writes to the church at Galatia, and the Galatians are doing this. They're like, well, if God forgives us of our sin, the more sin we commit, the more God forgives us. And the more God forgives us, the more it shows that he loves us. So we should go out and do everything we want to do, right? And the Galatians were like, yeah, sounds good. Let's do it. Who's organizing the party? Who's bringing this? Who's bringing that? Like, it's on. We're going to do this to God's glory. They've perverted the doctrine of God's grace to be used for their sinful desires. And so we don't want to do that, right? You don't want to, you can. I don't have any authority over you. You can stop paying your taxes today. Let me tell you from experience, as someone who grew up in a family who had a stepfather who tried that, I'm telling you, that don't work out too well for people. The IRS will find you, and you will have problems in your life if you don't do that. So there are consequences to that. So don't, and I pray no one is even thinking this. I really prayed and thought hard about it this week to even mention this, because I was like, I don't want to give anybody any ideas. I don't want anybody to do this, be like, you know, Michael said you could do that. No, I'm not saying you can do that. God is not saying you can do that, but Peter, also Paul, both writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, understood how messed up we are as sinful people that we'll do that. We have a tendency to want to do that. So don't do that. That's what he's saying right there. Do not pervert this to be used as something else. If you are taking notes, if you want to jot something down, I wrote this down, I've been meditating on it this week, is as Christians, this is what we are. We are free servants. Don't just say, I'm free, I can do whatever I want, man. I'm living my life, right? I'm going to do anything I want to do and I don't care. No, that is not what you are. Reference the first set of scripture we read, right? We are to be subject. Right, so you are free from sin. You are free from the burden of your past. You are free to live a life in glory to God, but you're not free to do anything you want and go bonkers. That's not what he's saying there. Free servants, that's what we are. And then the last thing here that I wanted to share with us this morning, and this is the Holy Spirit being ironic, I should, maybe. Maybe is the right word, ironic, is verse 17. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So in 2022, it's really difficult for me to come up with a great example of how powerful a Roman emperor was. They basically could do any and everything they wanted. Everything. Nothing was beyond their reach. If they walked in and they didn't like the look of someone, kill them. Hey, I want to go and do this. People will fall over themselves to get your chariot ready for you to go and do that. It is the level of power and authority is beyond a lot of our understanding in 2022. But notice there's a structure to this sentence that is easy to miss. Who comes last in this set of scripture? Honor everyone, so everyone's coming before them. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. There's a reason the emperor comes last, because in Roman citizenship, and what they believed is that emperors were basically gods amongst men. We clearly see here that that is not the case. Emperors are just men. They're just men appointed. They are appointed by God, but they're just men. They're not to be treated as gods. We would call them demigods, but not to be treated as gods. They're to be treated as people, right? And they've come last in this list, right? But no, why is that? It's because we understand God comes first, right? And that's something a lot of us probably don't struggle with a ton. In 2022, most of us probably don't think of our leaders as demigods and they should be worshipped and we should set up idols and sacrifices to them. But I see hero worship on a pretty regular basis, right? Of celebrities, right? A celebrity is this, and people are like, well, so-and-so told me to do this, or, I mean, that's almost the basis of sponsorship, right? Well, JT said this was good, and I'm a big fan of JT, so I'm going to buy what JT says to buy, right? The point that Peter's driving here is this, is that God has to be number one. You guys know I enjoy immensely talking about idolatry. It would be really easy to go into another 30 minutes of idolatry. You guys are like, whoa, I did not sign on for this, right? It'd be really easy. That's one of the points he's trying to make here, right? Is that we do not worship people. We only worship God. But we are to be submissive and live in submission to those governments. Why? Because God appointed them. So that's really what we see here. I want to give you one more bit of scripture here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And so what Paul is talking there when he writes to the church at Corinth, he's telling them this, is that we do this, right? We love the brotherhood, right? We honor everyone, not because of what we desire, but because of how Jesus modeled this behavior for us. And so if you have a tendency, I'm probably talking to more guys than I am women here. It's just our nature, unfortunately, is we have a tendency to kind of puff ourselves up and be like, oh man, I'm not living in submission to nobody. I'm my own man. I'm going to do what I want to. If you do that, you're modeling behavior that Christ did not model. because even Christ lived in submission to God the Father. And so I understand it's difficult. I understand it's counter to your sin nature, but it's not what God desires for you. God desires for you to be in submission to the government as long as they're not asking you to sin. And because he wants order and chaos, and through that order and chaos, God can be glorified, which gives us the opportunity to share the gospel with others. All right, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for today. Lord, what an amazing day for us to be together as a church. Just super exciting, Lord. I can't say enough to thank you for all that you do for myself and for the church. Just an amazing thing. Lord, I'm thankful for your word. As hard as it is at times, Lord, I'm very thankful for difficult pieces of scripture that are counter to what my sin nature or what my brain tells me I want to do. Lord, I'm thankful for the correction. I'm thankful for the reminder of how you are still working upon me and still working upon the church to grow us. Not in a way that the world is glorified, but to grow us in a way that you are glorified and we look more like Christ. Lord, we just thank you for that. We're thankful for the Spirit and its convictions and its teachings. And Lord, we pray that we're able to take this message today and to go out and be better servants of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and respond in song this morning.
What a truth. Why should I gain from his reward? It's so truthful. Again, just so blessed to be here with everyone this morning. I look out here amongst the church, and there's a lot of you that I don't personally know. So I want to encourage everyone from DBC make sure and say hi to some people. I know they're probably here. A lot of them are visiting for the baptism, and that's a great thing, and we're really glad to have you. But say hi to them, man. Introduce yourself to them. This is right. This is the church coming together. It's very good and it's very right. Also, I wanted to just make a note. We have Brother Cox and his wife here with us today. You hear me talk about we stand on the shoulders of those who go before us. Don't worry, I'm not going to get on your shoulder, Brother Cox. I know. You didn't sign on for that, I promise you. But so many of you were able to sit underneath his guidance and his teaching of God's Word. Just what a blessing it has been in your life. And it's helped move you along in your sanctification. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for those men and women in your life. Be thankful for your Sunday school teachers. It's an amazing thing how God sends us people to lead and to guide us. It's just a wonderful thing, right? Brother Cox, could I ask you to close us in prayer, please?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.